three. Everyone say, Tim's going to the moon.
Spoiler, Tim's not going to the moon. And neither is NASA. Over to former NASA Administrator James Bridenstine.
You know, it hinges on us, me saying here today that it is highly unlikely that we will land on the moon before China.
Mr. Bridenstine, let's start with China. China is on an aggressive timeline to put astronauts on the lunar surface by 2030, and they appear on track to do so.
That it is highly unlikely that we will land on the moon before China.
Mostly because Musk's design for Starship, which was going to take 150 tons to orbit, well, some 5 years later, that was quietly upgraded to it could actually take 15 tons to orbit.
Yes!
And that's assuming you believe Musk's numbers, because in reality, it never took anything to orbit.
Crazy pills!
Yeah, if you designed your mission about going to the moon about a rocket that could take 150 tons to orbit, and some 5 years later, having spent all of the money, it actually delivers less than 10% of that, that's probably going to be mission critical.
But I will say what we don't have today. Here's what we don't have today. We don't have a landing system for the moon.
Yeah, it's not just that Tim's not going to the moon. Neither is Uncle Sam.
We just lost the moon.
Now, Musk had previously claimed that he would fly Starship around the moon with people in it. Something we now know would have meant no survivors by 2023. And in 2024, the guy bankrolled it, pulled the plug on merely flying around the moon, because it was clear that this was never going to happen. And it looks like NASA has finally woken up to the fact to rely on SpaceX is to accept that you're not going back to the moon in this decade, or more likely, never. With the key message, I think, being that if your moon mission is founded on a technological miracle promised by a bullshit merchant who has a decade-long history of promising technological miracles and then never actually delivering on them, then your moon mission is probably doomed to failure. If only there had been some warning signs. In 2019, Starship was going to go to orbit next year with people in it.
And I think we could be sending people to orbit before the end of next year. Mm-hmm. You know, within a year, approximately.
Quick fact check on that one. Turns out that SpaceX didn't take people to orbit in Starship in 2020 or 2021, 2022. 2023, 2024, or 2025. In fact, Starship didn't even make it orbit in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, or 2025. But they did blow up or destroy so many rockets that I'm actually struggling to keep track of them all. But it's over 10. And thus far, their greatest achievement, their crowning achievement, has been getting this burnt husk back from space that then exploded.
We could be sending people to orbit before the end of next year. Mm-hmm. You know, within a year, approximately.
Yeah, sure, it could take people to orbit. It's just they would have like a 30% chance of being blown up somewhere along the way. And even if they made it to orbit, they would be guaranteed to be burnt to a crisp on re-entry. But he wasn't just going to take people to orbit in Starship in about 2 years. In 2019, Musk also told Time magazine that he thought we could land on the moon in less than 2 years. Musk's bullshit hole continued. And when you say we, do you mean the US or you mean SpaceX? Musk says, I'm not sure. If it would take longer to convince NASA and the authorities that we can do it versus just doing it, we might just do it. It may literally be easier to just land Starship on the moon than to try to convince NASA that we can. Obviously, this is a decision that's out of my hands, but the sheer amount of effort required to try and convince a large number of skeptical engineers at NASA that we can do it is very high, and not unnecessarily so, because they're like, Come on. How could this possibly work? The skepticism, you know, they'd have good reasons for it. But the for sure way to end their skepticism is just do it. Yeah, that's right. Musk was going to show all those rank amateurs who thought that this was what a reusable spacecraft should look like when it comes back from orbit can really be educated by seeing how a professional does it. I mean, come on, guys, this is quite a horror. I mean, it didn't explode or anything. I mean, what the SpaceX employees have to cheer at if it doesn't explode or something? And what's all this functional vehicle nonsense? You have no room to rapidly iterate its failures if you just engineer it to work first time. So if you've ever wondered what it would look like if you gave phony Stark some $3 billion of taxpayers' money to totally build something that's going to take humans from lunar orbit to the moon's surface, well, we now have an answer to this. They turn up late, having spent all of the money.
But I will say what we don't have today. Here's what we don't have today. We don't have a landing system for the moon.
And having achieved optimistically 1% of the goals that they were contracted to.
Well, I think in general, the amount of waste that happens with the federal government is really staggering. It's a staggering amount of waste of taxpayer money. And if we're, you know, for any given expenditure, we have to say, well, what does this do for the citizens of America? Like, how is this good for the people of America? It's their money. Like, for some weird reason, a lot of people in the sort of, you know, state or whatever, the politicians, they seem to forget that the money being spent is your money. And if it's not being spent in a way that is beneficial to the American people, it's a misuse of the funds.
So every explosion, it's like...
How pissed are you?
Boom, that was $100 million.
That's gambling.
So, yeah, put the chips on.
He's not gambling with his own money there. He's gambling 99% with other people's money. He basically roadstered the US government. The Roadster was going to be an amazing car with a physics-breaking stats that Musk said they were building now.
Sir, people have asked us for a long time, when are you going to make a new Roadster? We are making it now.
In 2017, he took 1,000 deposits of $250,000 each for a sports car, a cool $250 million of money, for which he has 8 years later delivered absolutely nothing. And Musk's actions here have all but firmly nailed the lid on the coffin of assuring that China will beat America back to the moon. To call this a race, by the way, is kind of a stretch. China's been plodding away at this for some 20 years. And now they've done things like lunar landers, lunar rovers, lunar sample return. They are plausibly working on things that look like a human lander. Whilst America has this. It's basically like declaring something's a race when you've barely started and they're almost at the finish line. And it looks like NASA is finally waking up to the fact that they put all of their money, all of their chips, on a Roadster pre-order. It's not so much that they didn't get a human landing system. They didn't even get a rocket that could go to orbit, let alone one that could actually make a fuel depot or refuel it, let alone something that could go to the moon, let alone something that could land on it.
And there was a moment in time when we had no NASA administrator. It was after I was gone and before Senator Nelson became the NASA administrator, an architecture was selected. And I don't know how this happens, but the biggest decision in the history of NASA, at least since I've been paying attention, the biggest decision happened in the absence of a NASA administrator, and that decision was...
This decision, I should mention, was made by Kathy Luders, who, having awarded this $3 billion contract to SpaceX, then quit NASA and went to work at SpaceX.
The biggest decision happened... in the absence of a NASA administrator, and that decision was, instead of buying a moon lander, we're going to buy a big rocket. And I want to be clear, we need this rocket to be successful. It's important for the country and it's transformational. But in the meantime, the architecture is as such. We need to launch Starship. That first Starship is a fueling depot that's in orbit around the Earth. Then we need to launch, nobody really knows, but it could be up to dozens of additional Starships to refuel the first Starship. So imagine launching Starship over and 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 over, dozens of times, no delays, no explosions, to refuel the first Starship. Then once it's fully refueled, then that Starship has to fuel another Starship that is in fact human-rated, which that process hasn't even started yet. By the way, that whole in-space refueling thing has never been tested either. We're talking about cryogenic liquid oxygen, cryogenic liquid methane being transferred in space, never been done before, and we're going to do it dozens of times, and then we're going to have a human-rated Starship that is refueled that goes all the way to the moon. Now, when it goes to the moon, we don't know how long it can be there because it's boiling off the entire time it's in orbit around the moon. We don't know how long it can be there, but while it's there, we have to launch the SLS, we have to launch the Orion, the European Service Module, we have to have astronauts and crew all ready to go. And they have to orbit the moon themselves in that window when Starship is around the moon, and then they have to dock around the moon. They have to transfer from the Orion into the Starship. It has to go down and land. When it's on the surface of the moon, Starship is gone, or Orion is gone for the next 7 days until it comes back around in near rectilinear halo orbit. So our astronauts are right now planning to be on the surface of the moon for a period of 7 days without any way home. This is an architecture that no NASA administrator that I'm aware of would have selected had they had the choice. But it was a decision that was made in the absence of a NASA administrator in the last administration.
They have had all of the contract money, some $3 billion, and effectively delivered nothing. Basically, having Starship as part of your plan for going to the moon puts it in fast territory. We choose not to go to the moon in this decade and not do the other things, not because they are hard, but because we relied on SpaceX. Yeah, I know. Who could have seen it coming that the bullshit merchant with a reputation for not delivering would end up not delivering? You know, it's only about a year and a half since I made this video, but it's worse than that. NASA is currently on track to lose in a solo pissing contest. Swallow
it down. If it needed to be said, and nobody said it, that would be the worst thing to live with.
And it looks like NASA is also finally coming to this conclusion.
Artemis 3 comes a couple years after that. Now, SpaceX had the contract for Artemis 3. By the way, I love SpaceX. It's an amazing company. The problem is they're behind.
Maybe a quick reminder of how far behind. They were meant to be landing humans on the moon in 2025. Instead, they've not got to orbit yet, which they were meant to be doing early 2022.
They pushed their timelines out and we're in a race against China. The president and I want to get to the moon in this president's term.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So I'm going to open up the contract. I'm going to let other space companies compete with SpaceX. Just watch me
burn. You know what? I can't compete with this. Just watch me
burn. Reopening the contract like this does kind of just gloss over the fact that SpaceX had all of the money and delivered nothing. Well, not entirely. They did deliver some very expensive, overgrown fireworks.
Hopefully we don't lose any boosters, because that's a lot of engines. Our initial booster flights will just have maybe 2 to 4 engines, not 28. 28's a lot of engines.
Yeah, you'll be happy to know that the government-funded fireworks have now blown up some 300 engines. And just so we're clear how overpromised and underdelivered Starship is. In 2021, he said that Starship would take 150 tons to low Earth orbit. So here he's talking about how many refueling flights it will need for the human landing system. 16 flights is extremely unlikely. Starship's payload to orbit is 150 tons.
But in terms of its usefulness, it'll be able to do about 150 tons with full reusability to orbit and back. So this is a very big number for full reusability. The very initial versions we're confident will do over 100 tons, but I think there's a clear path to 150 tons.
So max 8 flights to fill our 1,200-ton tanks for a lunar Starship. Without flaps and the heat shield, Starship is much lighter. Lunar legs don't add much in a sixth gravity. Maybe only needs half for full, i.e. only 4 tanker flights. And of course, 3 years later, Musk delivered on that 150 tons to low Earth orbit, right? No, it was more like 40 or 50 tons, maybe?
We're aiming for, currently flight 3 would be around 40 or 50 tons to orbit.
And if you're wondering why Musk is using that would have taken 40 or 50 tons, it's because the actual rocket was completely empty. Musk goes on to say that they're totally going to turn this around by making Starship 2 and 3.
So the current design, Starship 2 will be over 100 tons, and then Starship 3 will be over 200 tons.
So you got that. In 2023, Musk was saying that Starship 1 would take 40 or 50 tons, but Starship 2 would take over 100 tons. I wonder how that's going to fare in a couple of years' time. In fact, hey, it's a couple of years later now. And all of a sudden, Musk is tweeting that Starship 1, which was going to take 150 tons...
of its usefulness, it'll be able to do about 150 tons with full reusability to orbit and back. So this is a very big number for full reusability.
Before it was upgraded to maybe 40 or 50, has now been upgraded again to about 15 tons? Maybe, if you believe Musk. And Starship 2, which was going to take over 100 tons, has now been upgraded to maybe 35, maybe?
The very initial versions we're confident will do over 100 tons, but I think there's a clear path to 150 tons.
In fact, there are folks like me who have tracked for almost a decade what Musk was predicting that Starship's payload would be. I wonder what an analysis of this data will show us.
In expandable mode, the vehicle approach that we're proposing would do about 550 tons and about 300 tons in reusable mode. That compares to Saturn V max capability of 135 tons. So that the Starship can get to orbit with, let's say, 150 tons of payload for the Moon or Mars. It's 100-ton capability to orbit. Currently, Flight 3 would be around 40 or 50 tons to orbit.
And with the upgraded Musk number, the Flight 3 would have actually been 15 tons. We can now plot this up as a graph. But of course, version 3 will definitely, totally, absolutely be over 100 tons in a year. Maybe a year and 6 months.
And I think we could be sending people to orbit before the end of next year. Mm-hmm. Within a year, approximately.
So, quick summary of Musk's progress over the last 5 or so years. Initially, Starship, there were no early versions of Starship, it was just Starship. Version 1. Version 0 was going to do 150 tons to orbit, because that's what the Vaporware King claimed. Then, of course, that met reality when it turns out that actually, it could only take about 15 tons to low Earth orbit. So even by according to Musk's own numbers here, version 1 of Starship would require about 100 refueling flights for the human landing system.
That first Starship is a fueling depot that's in orbit around the Earth. Then we need to launch, nobody really knows, but it could be up to dozens of additional Starships to refuel the first Starship. So imagine launching Starship over and 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 over, dozens of times, no delays, no explosions, to refuel the first Starship.
And version 2 of Starship would take about 35 refueling missions for the human landing system.
Then they're like,
I mean, that's what they're saying, but it's probably more like 12.
Really? And then I was like, you know, I'm an engineer. I know how to do this stuff. So I started to account for like nominal schedule slip and boil off. And this is how many rockets it's going to take to fuel up that thing to get it to the moon. I've done the math.
Yeah, I know. It's a farce out of the gates. And of course, there will be a chorus of SpaceX fans in the comments saying how I'm just a hater and haters gonna hate her and, you know, anything to distract from the facts like this. But also, I'm not exactly alone here, with former NASA administrators urging the space agency to rethink plans for the Artemis moon lander. I did not recognize the architecture when I came back to thinking about NASA again after Jim had left office. And I went, holy jeez, how do we get back here? Now we need 11 launches to get one crew to the moon. We're never going to get there, Bolden said. Bridenstine argued that the current architecture of using Starship for Artemis 3 crewed landings means that the probability of beating China approaches zero rapidly. He claimed that Duffy's proposal to reopen HLS contracts for the third Artemis mission was absolutely the right thing to do. Musk didn't take someone pointing out that he is massively late and massively underperforming well, tweeting that SpaceX is moving like lightning compared to the rest of the space industry. Moreover, SpaceX will end up doing the whole moon mission, mark my words. And that Starship's designed to carry 100 people. Yeah, so just so you know, this is what it would look like with some 30 people in Starship. Enjoy the next 6 months going to Mars, guys. And they're going to need a lot of diapers to go to Mars like that. And someone brought up this very early rendering of what Starship going to Mars will look like. And SpaceX desperately put up a load of bump, trying to make it sound like they'd achieved so much. I mean, look, they've got all of this computer-generated graphics. But no, you want to know how half-baked SpaceX's plan is after some 5 years? You know, windows are typically used so you can see out of the spacecraft. You know what would be really dumb? Would be putting a console in front of the windows. So stupid. So very, very stupid. Not that it really matters, of course, because those windows would serve no utility whatsoever in landing the vehicle. And then in the very next render, the number of windows goes up from 10 or so to like 50. But I can't but help feel that something's missing from this design. Oh, that's right, they've forgotten to put solar panels on it. The dumb thing is, they remembered that back in 2021. And in 2023, but their new updated version of Starship, not so much. For me, it's all just kind of dumb. You know, I raced with China. Well, this is peak contrived urgency in that, well, America did kind of land on the moon some 50 years ago. And so declaring a race when you're all but guaranteed to lose is just kind of dumb. But likewise, America's claims that they want to do more than flags and footprints, also kind of dumb in that they want people on the moon to do some pretty useless science experiments. Two of the three main Artemis science goals and the instruments deal with understanding the moon itself. The Lunar Environmental Monitoring Station is a compact autonomous blah 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 seismometer. Don't need a human for that. While the Lunar Dielectric Analyzer will aid in understanding the character and origin of lunar polar volatiles. Again, don't need a human for that. The third main science objective will investigate how to mitigate the risks of human exploration. And to that end, the Lunar Effect on Agricultural Flora instrument will investigate the lunar surface's environment's effects on space crops and see if lunar regolith can be used to grow food. Again, you don't need a human for that either. Basically, all of these goals could be achieved quicker, more safely, and a thousand times cheaper by sending a rover, something NASA might be better equipped to do if it hadn't had its budget cut by about 50% this year, along with basically every other science institute in America. And if you look at that table and think, hang on, NASA's budget isn't $7 billion, it's more like $20 billion. But it turns out the cuts are mostly focused on the science portion of NASA's budget. And if I'm being honest, this is one of the reasons why I've made so few videos recently, is because I find this stuff just so depressing. 17 years ago, I made a video of Why Do People Laugh at Creationists, part 26, about the scientific illiteracy of Palin, who was running for president.
That's the beauty of American elections, of course, and democracy, is with new leadership comes opportunity to do things better.
Yeah, that's right. This is the beauty of democratic elections. You get to change your leaders for the better, and you do this by learning from the mistakes of the past. If there is one lesson that America should have learnt over the last 8 years, it's that having a grade-A moron and screw-up artist as a leader is a bad thing. Please, America, don't make the same mistake again.
Only for some 17 years later for a president to just slash the U.S. science budget in half with the stroke of a pen. But anyway, keeping humans alive in space is hard, dangerous, and expensive, and just kind of dumb unless you've got a very, very good reason for doing it. But Musk's claims about a city on Mars, these are off the charts stupid.
Time to share our latest Starship supercut. We've taken Elon's 2024 presentation, cut down the repetition and unnecessary bits, and served it up right here as a neat bonus video. There was a load of great stuff in this, so if you missed it, watched only some of it, or just want a fun refresh mixed with wonderful music, you are going to love this.
Is the overall sort of path to making life multiplanetary. Starship is the first design of a rocket that is actually capable of making life multiplanetary. Before this has had the potential to extend life to another planet. Because this is the first time in Earth's 4.5 billion year history that it's been possible to extend life or consciousness beyond Earth. The key thing is that we need enough people and enough tonnage on Mars such that Mars can survive and continue consciousness, even if something would happen to Earth.
For too long, humanity has existed within dysfunctional and polluted cities that ignore nature. Now, a revolution in civilization is taking place.
Then on Mars, in the beginning, we would simply reuse the ship materials, so most of the ships wouldn't come back, but then over time, you'd want to bring the ships back so you could reuse them.
Imagine a traditional city and consolidating its footprint. What if we removed cars? What if we got rid of streets? What if we innovated in the public space, designing to protect and enhance nature? The line will be home to 9 million residents.
Mining in general, ice mining, propellant production, long-duration life support.
Energy and water supplies are 100% renewable. The line is designed as a series of unique communities, offering a wealth of amenities. And we are designing it to provide a healthier, more sustainable quality of life. The line's communities are organized in three dimensions.
While it sounds like something out of a science fiction novel, the Saudi Arabian government is determined to have this city become a reality by the year 2025.
For a self-sustaining city is about 1 million and several million tons of cargo, which we can do, and we can do this in 20 years.
Yes, we're going to Mars. Going beyond, even beyond Mars, we'll go to Ceres, we'll go to the moons of Jupiter, keep planet and moon hop all the way out of the solar system.
Look, Neom was a comically stupid idea to build a linear modern city in the desert, and it recently got scaled back from being 100 miles long to being like 1 mile long. That is, the line became the dot. The mere cost for building a city in the desert was over $1 trillion, and Musk wants to do the exact same thing, build a city for 1 million people, but not in the desert, but on Mars. Musk can't build a city here on Earth. It's way beyond his capabilities. Let alone a self-sustaining city, which is probably 100 times harder. Let alone a self-sustaining city in a place which is harsh conditions, like Antarctica or something, which is probably 10 times harder still. Let alone one where there's no oxygen or really water, which is probably 100 times harder. Let alone ship it to Mars, which is probably 100 times harder still. But yeah, know what he can do? Computer-generated slop. And if you're wondering how SpaceX basically got all of the money while having achieved maybe 1% of the goals, it's because they gamed the system, basically knocking off contrived point of principle demos that they could achieve with minimal effort to unlock great stacks of taxpayer money. Prime example being their orbital fuel transfer demo, which was basically just opening a valve between their header tank and their main fuel tank. In reality, it was operationally useless. They learned nothing by doing this. They gained no new capabilities. But it unlocked a bunch of funding for them as they claimed they'd done the orbital fuel transfer demo. Now, I'm pretty much a voice in the wilderness here on YouTube. Most of YouTube is the click farming of, look at every new tube they put on a launch pad at SpaceX, then gushing about how amazing this is and how it's an exciting new future. While curiously glossing over the whole late, no performance, burned to a crisp, no path to a functional vehicle, and even if you went poof and magically gave them a rapidly functioning reusable Starship, it would still be years to never away from being functional, as this would be just stage one of many. Yeah, I'm kind of a voice in the wilderness on this one. Anyway, bottom line, if you like videos like this with no ad reads, where you get well-researched videos made by a real person, not AI slop or AI-generated slop, Patreon is a hell of a way forwards. And if not, sharing the video would also be awesome. And as ever, thanks for watching.